Explore the mystery at shrouduniversity.com.
Good afternoon. It's a pleasure to be here for the South Conference. This is the third South Conference I'm attending. The first one was, I believe, in 1999 in Richmond, where I met Joe Marino. The second one was in Dallas 3 years ago. I want to thank the organization of this conference, especially Joe Marino, because he was responsible for me getting into this program. I was 1 month overdue for the acceptance of the abstract. In that respect, I want to thank Dr. Wanger, who is going to follow me, because it is his newsletter that reached me, that alerted me about this conference. I don't know how you all came to know about this conference, but I would have completely missed this conference. Dr. Wanger happens to be in the adjacent city of Durham. I'm in Raleigh, North Carolina. In fact, another famous Shroud person is also in the area, Dr. Dimuhala. So we are very heavily Shroud people in that area. I consider myself the least of that, even though my familiarity with the Shroud goes back to 1980s. And before I get to my topic, in fact, you have been hearing a lot of spectroscopy. My PhD used a lot of spectroscopy. I'm familiar with many of the things that you already showed me, but I also went into high voltage physics in my research so I can understand things like corona and all those kind of things. But before I go into that, I want to show you a couple of slides that bring to your attention my familiarity with the Shroud. Okay, how do I advance it?
The button on the right.
Okay. Where do I point?
Oh, maybe it's not switched on. My apologies.
Oh, this one.
Here. Now it's on. Check. There. Right. This one right here.
Oh, that went to the right. Did I go to the bottom, the light one?
Okay.
There should be...
That's
oh, my God. What happened? Can we go back to the... I have another... Well, that's all right. I had some slides that I don't know what happened to that.
Not in the PowerPoint?
In the PowerPoint?
That's the only PowerPoint that was there.
You had? Okay. I wonder whether it is the current version. Can I give you another version?
It's the only one I have.
I have another one in my bag.
Sure.
Okay. Excuse me.
Wrong PowerPoint. There were JPEGs on it.
Okay, here's the first disc.
Okay.
Let's make sure we got it. Okay, here you go.
There are some interesting slides I didn't want you to miss, so I made two versions. In fact, I don't know if I can cover... This is a longer version, so if I don't finish... we will stop where we have to stop because it has some experience information. After this presentation, I'm going to the Chicago side where I'm going to make the same presentation on the Shroud at Wheaton College. So there I have 1 hour so I can present more stuff.
This one is called the full version.
Yeah,
it will
right,
take 1 minute.
Right.
It's still loading. It's big.
Right.
Hang on 1 sec.
Good.
Now you've tried.
Okay, we are in business. All right. Behold the Shroud. I know that some of you have gone to the Real Shroud Expo in Turin. My first opportunity came in 1998. So we were there. My wife and I were there. And I'm proud to show my own picture of the Shroud taken 10 feet away without flash. That was the rule, that you could not use the flash. But don't expect any perfection in that Shroud image. Everybody was proud about what they took. And 10 days later, there's another famous picture of the Shroud. This is Pope John Paul II came to the exact spot And this picture was in our Raleigh newspaper, so I saved it. I have been very fortunate to get to know some of the famous Shroud people. Some of them are sitting here in the audience. What we see here is a Father Kim Reisbach, whom I got to know in the late 1980s or early 1990s. In fact, we visited Atlanta, and he came to our hotel and brought some Shroud stuff, and I took that picture. On the right side is my very first visit to the Turin Cathedral in 1993. And at that time, the Shroud was in a silver casket. And that is seen in the bottom picture with the Father there. So that was, I went to Turin in relation to a business conference, so nothing to do with the Shroud show. A very first encounter with the Shroud Expo was in Pennsylvania, northwestern Pennsylvania, where I was living at that time. The church there had sponsored the Shroud show through the Knights of Columbus, and so the full-scale Shroud version copy was, and 50 or 60 panels were brought there, and on the right side, you see there were, after the expo, there were two sessions on the television, a panel session on the Shroud by the Catholic Television Network. So I am in that as a scientist, and on my left is an Orthodox priest from the Byzantine Church, and the left is the Knights of Columbus person, and the person on the right is the Father who is interviewing us. So this was a very great opportunity. In fact, if anybody wants to archive them, I brought a CD of the two, one half of our presentations, or the panel sessions. Maybe Joe or somebody can use it. Well, anyway, I also prepared an outline of on the Shroud for distribution, because I had a lot of books, and so I thought people will benefit about all the finding on the Shroud summarized, so I made it available at that point. Okay, my last slide. Okay. All right. This is fine. Okay. I started with the 1998 Expo slide. Now we are going exactly 100 years back to the Secundopia picture, and this I took from one of these publications. But I have seen actually the camera in the Turin. When we went to Turin, we visited all those the museum there. So I've seen the camera. I had a picture of the camera, but this is okay. So this is where we all started, that photograph-wise. Now let's go to the presentation. Well, this will include earlier attempts to identify the coins by the Shroud image eye area. And my own presentation will be a novel approach to extract pirate coin images. And then when we talk about the Shroud, we are reminded of the crucifixion event. So there's naturally a question about the crucifixion date on which many people are confused. And I'm going to straighten that out today. There's actually a fourth part to it, which is everything about dates relating to Christ seem to be in big debate. Nobody is sure about anything. Today we are going to straighten out everything. Not only we know now the crucifixion date, we also have a date for the birth of Christ. It's in part of this, that's where I don't know whether I can get into that, because it involves some more slides. It's not relevant to the slide and the Shroud point, so if I get time, I will go into that, otherwise we'll skip that. We have heard a lot about the Jacob Jamson, 3D picture, and we have demonstration here. Kevin Moran has been demonstrating that, and that's a very famous picture in which the eye area seems to have something round. And that's when it was first proposed there might be some coins. And everybody knows this famous Father Fielder's picture. It had four letters, it seems to be, at least the UCAI, which was assumed to be part of Tiberiu Kaiseros. So that was the way we were told about it. And on the left is a coin that Father Fielder's found, which had a misspelling, seems to be UCAI, and no other letters could be found. It's a very badly stricken, struck coin. And on the right, you have the shroud eye area where you can barely see these letters. And on the right side, it's a somewhat extracted, you can see some letters there. There have been a lot of debates about this particular identification, and I'll go into that. The comments made on this coin are shown on this slide. First of all, the coins minted by pirates were between AD 29 and 32, and the 29 coin had a different emblem than the other ones, and you'll see some of those pictures later. Most of the lepton show a Greek spelling, which is Tiberoi Kaiseros, and so sometimes the Y and the U are the same. So anyway, the coin identified by Dr. Father Fielder's, it has the UCIA identification, not KIAC. Okay, we'll comment on that. So at that point, it was considered that this may be just an accidental misspelling. There have been, the problem is with that is almost all the pirate coins that have been found, good quality, have the KAIC, not CAIC, and they are also separated from the in two words. I got this picture of Father Fielder's from the web, and he is actually showing his coin there. And he also came up later with the left eye coin, which is considered to be the what we call the Julia coin, AD 29, with a simplum on one side and the 3 years of barley. But this coin could never be identified positively. It was a very, very faint image. So there's a lot more question about the left eye identification than the right eye identification. By the way, I thought Father Fielder's was just a priest, but he happens to be a physicist and a mathematician, so he must have been a faculty member there in Loyola College or university. Now, Dr. Alan Wagner, who is here, coming after me, talking about coins again, he has this polarized overlay technique, which I'm sure he's going to talk about. He found that the coin, the right eye coin, had these points of congruence, 74 points on the on these 73, with the 73 points on the Julia coin, with the AD 29 coin. So he is confident that the coins are genuine, or the identification genuine. So there is a very interesting exchange of correspondence between Dr. Wagner and Antonio Lombardi. You can see on the shroud.com website, there's a lot of exchange of back and forth, which is interesting to read. So the bottom line is, a lot of the shroud people, experts, remain very skeptical about coin identification. We already heard some comments from the floor about that. Some of the top experts here on this floor are very doubtful, are very skeptical about all this coin identification, and I don't blame them, because it is a speculation, and there is no clear-cut evidence for the identification. And I found this in one of the books I bought from Turin, that there was an Italian professor. They found another identification, and here we can see an attempt to identify with the Lintus coin, the AD 30 coin. But again, what you find is, if you look at that picture, it's very hard to make out anything positive about the identification. So, and these coins are, these identifications are different from the Father Filas identification too. But again, all these things point out that this is where it stands. I have not seen anybody else's identification, so I just put whatever I saw. The most famous book on biblical coins is by David Hendon, and he lists all the pirate coins. Pirate, even though Pirate was the governor from procurator from 26 to 36 AD, he did not issue any of his coins after AD 32. So that's why we see only these coins there, three sets. And the second coin is the AD 30 coin, and it is, we only see the one side with the litus, an auger band. And the other side, if we could see that, we could immediately conclude what year it was made, because there is the letter LIC, and L means year, IC means 17, year 17. And year 17 from the accession of Tiberius Caesar, and that happens to be AD 30. So he was actually, he ascended the throne AD 14, but that's also counted as year 1. So you get year 30. And an identical coin, almost identical coin, was issued the next year, AD 31, sometimes /32. It also has the litus sign with Tiberius Caesar or Tiberius Caesaros. And on the other side, you will find LIH, and IH is 18. So that is how you get year 31. And I happen to have the 30 and 31 coins with me, and so I have both LIH and LIC coins. Well, we are getting into the identification of the novel, what I came up with. In 2001-2, a renowned pirate coin specialist and author, the coins of pirate, Pontius Pilate, this is Jean-Philippe Fontanelle, and he wrote the very famous book, Pontius, Coins of Pontius Pilate. This is a very authoritative, very well-written book, in fact, endorsed by David Hendon. And he attempted coin extraction by taking one shroud picture that he had found from one of the French publications. And I have given that French publication name there. I'm not going to read it. I have studied French, but I don't want to still pronounce it. He used a very different extraction technique, not by just looking at it or some magnification technique, because he found that was not going to work. So he did this extraction, and that's what I'm going to show in the next few slides. Last November, we were in Montreal for an electrical meeting, and I made an appointment with him, and we went and visited him in Montreal at his home, because that was the only way I could get more information. Jean-Philippe is shown on the right side, and On the left side is the shroud picture that he used. And this is the magazine or the publication that came. If anybody can get hold of that, I don't know whether you can get it or not. But I scanned this just very quickly and just to show you that this is the picture that he used. It was a very high quality picture, that is what he said. Okay. The Jean-Philippe himself did not want to come and present this. In fact, he did not even want to come to the Schalk meeting. But he was gracious enough to allow me to use this information. And that's why I'm here. This is the identification that I want to talk about. Okay, in 2002, I suddenly get an email because I have a website with Schalk article and he saw that. And I had Father Phyllis going all those times on my website. So he sent me this picture and said that, what do you think of this? So I put it on my website ever since. What it is that he has given the identification for both the right eye and the left eye. He used a totally different technique because most of the other identification attempts have been subjective. If you look at it, your eyes can, your brain can really fool you. Instead, what he did was, okay, the fiber has a lot of noisy background, and if something, a coin image is sitting there, it's very, very hard to imagine what it is. So what he did was get a template of the fiber alone, the fiber part, and then subtract it out from the from this eye area, and then you get the coin begins to come out, and there is some sort of coloring device used there, so the coin is slowly emerging from almost like the shadow. So that's how he got the right eye coin, which clearly shows the letters and the auger band, so you can match it with a real finer coin, which he matched with from his own collection. And on the right, on the left eye, initially he was not very successful. He thought it was a simpulum and all that, but later on he went back and then did this again. And this time he got a clear identification of the left eye coin, again a Pontius Pilate letter. And so that coin is shown there, and you will notice two things, that first of all the coins are not sitting vertically, they are both horizontal on the eye. That is not the way it was shown on previous by other identification that we saw. And so both are Pontius Pilate lepterns. We cannot say whether it is AD 30 or 31 because we don't know the other side, but it doesn't matter. Okay, so that is the identification he has come up with, and he has not published this except the left side identification he has published in his book. So you can find the left side, I'm sorry, right side identification. The left side is, what I have shown is not there. This is what you find in his book. The left part is the right eye, the other part is the left eye. But the left eye identification that he shows in his book was the original one, and which he later on abandoned, and then came up with the one that I showed, but he has not published it. So I don't know whether he plans to publish it or not. He doesn't even have a website dealing with the shroud he made anymore. So this is where it stands with his identification. On the top part, the top picture shows the eye area with the two coins. You can barely see that. Just created that image. All right, I think we're doing good on time, because I'm going to... Well, this is what Fontenelle says, that how he did it. Freshby took a clear standard strike of a pirate coin and extracted the engraved image through a digitally uniform sequence of dates. So you can read all that stuff. So it says exactly what I said, that the way to extract was first to get a template of the background, the fibers and all that, and then subtract it from the image on the eye area. So that's how he attended. I have not seen anybody using this technique. I would love to see somebody else trying to do this and get a confirmation of this particular thing. I just created this image, how the two coins may have been placed on the eyes. I happen to have both coins with me, I mean, in my possession, and the right, the one on the left side, I actually purchased it from Sean Philippe. That's the one he showed on the left eye. So I have it with me. Well, as you can see, there are limitations with the coin identification. I'm not going to assert that this is the correct identification. I'm only presenting one more piece of evidence there, another researcher's finding, and only time will tell whether these identifications are right or wrong. So we cannot be very dogmatic about these identifications. I just wanted to mention very quickly about the crucifixion date, because the shroud, even if this is the right coin, let's say it's 30 or 31, we don't know when the crucifixion took place. It cannot be before that, that's all we can say. So how can we find the right crucifixion date? And the way to do is, we know that Jesus was crucified on Good Friday, so it's a Friday. But the only thing that we forget is that it was a Passover time. And Passover is a Jewish festival, and it's always Nisan 14, 15. So we have to see what year Nisan 15 falls on a Friday. And that's all we have to do to find out the year of crucifixion. But what was the problem so far? We never had a calendar. So that's... I found the answer with the Dr. Johnson, who happens to be work for the army like many of the other people, but he got a great interest in chronology, so he completely he got the complete chronology of the New Testament worked out using calendars. So he generated all the calendars from I think BC 10 to AD 70, and he could immediately look at the calendar. This you can buy from Amazon.com, I think. So what you do is, I have shown the possible years, AD 29 to 33. And all you have to do is look at which year Nisan 15, which is shown in the parentheses, that is the Passover day, falls on a Friday. It doesn't fall on 29, it doesn't fall on 30, it doesn't fall on 31, it doesn't fall on 32, it falls only on 33, and it's April 1st, Friday. Now that's the Gregorian date, and the Gregorian calendar came into existence in 1582 AD, but you can go back and put Gregorian date. The Julian date is actually April 3. You have to add two more days, so in some books you may see April 3. So you can almost take it as official that this is, that we have resolved it, the problem. Now that will create a lot of problems for people. What is the birthday of Christ? And if we think, as most of you think, that Jesus was on earth for 33 and a half years, all you have to do is count back 33 and a half years, which I did, and you get the end of September BC 2. And this Dr. Johnson actually came up with the exact date. September 27, BC 2. There he used the Star of Bethlehem research using astronomical science and everything. That's why I said he cannot finish it in this time. And he came up with exactly BC 27 and BC 2. And it happens to be the Jewish New Year Day, which is Tishri, and it was Tishri 1 of that year, and it's also called Rosh Hashanah, and it's also called the Day of the Trumpets. So according to this, Jesus was born on the Day of the Trumpets. We know that Jesus is going to come most likely on the Day of the Trumpets in the second coming. So it makes sense that he came on the Day of the Trumpets on the first coming too. So these are all very interesting things about the birth of Christ. So I don't have time to go into that. If you have an empty spot later on, I will come back and present those slides. But it's not relevant to this shroud. But it all falls into pieces. When people come up with dates, they fix one date and they don't look at the other. Here we look at everything, so everything matches. So there's no problem. This is how this has been resolved. So I think my time is up, and that's the last slide, except I'll just quickly pass through this. That was the birthday of Christ summary. I have two websites, Bible Discoveries. The other one is my academic research, and this is my website, and it has an article of the shroud. I also have a mini book and this is the last slide. And the shroud conference in Dallas, I bought that hanging there. It's in my living room. And when I did the Knights of Columbus gave me that picture, photograph of the shroud with two views. When I did help them in Sharon in Pennsylvania. So that's the last slide, and I want to thank you.
Explore the mystery at shrouduniversity.com.